course, a week of Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Is this just a holiday for visiting family and eating a lot? No, there's watching football, right? And hunting. I'd give up any football game and go hunting. One of my fondest Thanksgiving memories was getting to go hunting with Dad, either Thanksgiving Day or the day after. Your traditions may include, like as Sarah mentioned, at the Thanksgiving meal, going around the table and saying something that you're thankful for. And that's a good exercise. We need to learn to live in gratitude. And obviously, one question for today is, what are you thankful for today? Somewhat dangerously, I want to approach a one-off lesson from the book of Hebrews. And I say dangerously because we don't have a lot of time for context. I'm going to go right to the end of the book, to chapter 12 of Hebrews. And there's a therefore statement that I want us to see this morning. And I think that this therefore relates to the whole book. Because of everything he's written, he says, therefore, let us be thankful. Specifically, the pastor or writer here wants us to be thankful for our salvation in Christ. And I'd like for all of us to ponder this week the kind of things that we're thankful for, but I want us to ponder how thankful we are for our salvation and where we would be without it. Give some thought to your own depravity that includes and that his love for us, that he would include us in his eternal kingdom. And I'm going to get this cough drop in because I feel it coming on. I hope that doesn't rattle the microphone. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to start reading in verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, to the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteousness made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better, a better word than the blood of Abel. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Keep in mind here that this letter was specifically written to Jewish followers of Jesus to help them understand the supremacy of the new covenant. In the context of their history and their experience, the writer stresses the value of the new covenant in Christ. And so he points to their history, to their cultural context, to illustrate some of the differences between the old covenant and the new. The new covenant, of course, fulfills the old covenant and therefore is superior. He said, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched. He's referring, of course, to Mount Sinai. When Israel was camped all around Mount Sinai and Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God and to receive the law. And the people were told to stay away from the mountain because they could not tolerate the holy presence of the Lord. They could see the mountain. They could see the smoke on top of the mountain. They could see the lightning. They could hear the thunder. They heard God's voice like a trumpet blast. And it was frightening. They were absolutely afraid of God's wrath because they were unclean. even though they could see the physical evidence of God's presence, they could see it. They could look at the mountain and see that God was present. Even in that experience, in less than 40 days, their faith failed. In less than 40 days, they had given up and made themselves a golden calf for worship. Seeing was not believing. Their lack of faith, their disobedience caused judgment from God. And so in their recollection, the mountain and the law represented the judgment of God. And there was a grave fear attached to their Sinai experience. So that's why the writer says, you haven't come to that mountain, a mountain you can touch, but you have come to Mount Zion. It says in verse 22, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And the first century experience in Christ, the people to whom he was talking share the same experience with us in that we do not relate to a physical mountain. We don't have to go to a specific location to worship the Lord. Mount Zion here represents the eternal home of God. And notice here how the writer described the heavenly Jerusalem. He said there is the presence of thousands and thousands of angels. Remember that angels are created beings. They're spiritual beings created by God to serve him and to worship him. They are not people who died and gained their wings. But these angels are described as a joyful assembly. I think we're meant to picture a massive choir. Just a huge choir singing to the glory of the Lord. That'll be a welcome home. Oh. The church is represented here. He said there. These are the saints who came before. They're followers of Jesus or a people of faith who had previously died. He said they're there. And chapter 11 tells us all about this, the faithful saints called the roll call of faith. It tells about all those from Scripture who lived out their faith. And it holds them up as a testimony to faith. And in the beginning of chapter 12 says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Jesus' followers who have physically died already are in his presence in the city of God. And that is our destiny if we are in Christ. He mentioned God as judge of all, judge of every soul, of all time, and he has welcomed the righteous into his kingdom. There is one judge who sorts the repentant from the rebellious, and he grants eternal life to those who trust him. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and he is superior to the law. He's superior to the mountain and to the temple. He's superior to any other high priest. It says that the blood of Christ pays for our redemption. And then he recalls Abel's blood as a way to contrast with the blood of Jesus. And you'll find that story in Genesis 4, where Cain, his brother, killed Abel. And it literally says in Genesis 4 that Abel's blood cried out for vengeance. But the blood of Jesus doesn't cry out for vengeance. It cries out for mercy. For forgiveness, for love. There was a need for judgment to avenge Abel's death, but Jesus' death is not about being avenged. It's about mercy. It's about forgiveness. It's about redemption. His blood opened the way for us to be reconciled to God. Let's read on from verse 25. He says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, the created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Do you ever say that to your kids? See to it. What does that mean? When you see to it. What did it mean when your grandmother said, see to it? It meant you better get it done, right? I don't want to hear that you forgot. I don't want to hear about anything that got in the way. You see to it. You make sure it happened. It's an imperative statement. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Do not neglect the word of God. If the people on Mount Sinai were held responsible for their rebellion, how much more will we be responsible who have the complete word of God in the person of Jesus Christ? And when you know the truth, you are responsible for what you do with the truth. Do you hear me? When you know the truth, you are responsible for it. Disregarding God's word is the same as rebelling against it. The result is the same. The wages of rejecting God's word, whether it's just by neglect or by out and out rebellion, the wages are the same. The wages are death. Mount Sinai shook at the sound of God's voice. Can you imagine those camped around the foot of the mountain and hearing God's voice like a trumpet blast, seeing the lightning and the smoke and the whole mountain shaking? That would have been fearful. His voice shook the earth. And at the end of this era, God's voice will shake the earth again. Not only will the earth be shaken, but so will the heavens. All created things will be shaken, sorted, sifted, and only the eternal will remain. There will be a separation of eternal from temporal. And what remains, i.e. the kingdom of God, cannot be shaken. Our permanent home cannot be shaken. At the end of this era, the church era in which we live, when Jesus reclaims his church for eternity, everything else will be sorted. Only the eternal will remain. Only those who have been reconciled by grace through faith will remain in God's kingdom. And then we will experience the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city of God. Don't be fooled. The end of this world is coming. It is coming. And Jesus said that he will separate the sheep from the goats. He will welcome those who are his sheep to his home. And those who he titled goats, the rebellious ones, will be cast out into the lake of fire, into eternal darkness with no hope of being reconciled to God. And that is hell. Are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? If so, then you're looking forward to an eternal home in the kingdom of God. You can be assured that even after the final judgment, you will be at peace with God and in his home. Your salvation is secure. The heavens and the earth will be shaken again. Judgment is coming, and the redeemed will be sorted from the rebellious. If you are in Christ, you will be greeted with thousands upon thousands of angels singing for the Lord in unity. You will be welcomed by the saints of the church throughout all time. You will be approved by the judge and the King of Kings. Jesus will testify to the Father that you are His. Aren't you ready to hear that voice? The Son saying to the Father, she's mine. He's mine. See, she's covered by my blood. She has the seal of your spirit. Come home. Come on in. You will never again suffer the consequences of human sin. You'll be alive, more alive than you've ever known. Forever in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, be thankful. Regardless of the trials and troubles of this life, be thankful for our salvation in Christ. Let us give Him glory and honor for saving us out of this sinful world and into an eternal glory with Him. Let us worship Him with reverence and awe. And let us do our best to live holy lives and worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is judge. He is a consuming fire that will destroy the chaff, the waste, the byproduct. And He will also save the redeemed from that fire. Be thankful. I invite you to consider your own corrupt behavior. And if you don't think your behavior is corrupt, just ask a family member. They'll help you realize how corrupt you are. Consider your own depravity. But above all this week, be thankful to Christ for your salvation. Be thankful. If you are in Christ and He is in you, then you are redeemed by His blood. You are given His Spirit who marks you with a guarantee of eternal salvation. And it can't wash off. It can't fall off. The mark of the Spirit is permanent. It will not be shaken. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for the bountiful blessings of God right here and now. And above all, be thankful for eternity in His grace. You've not come to a distant and vengeful God. You have come to the Lord who loves you and who gave Himself for you. Do you need to know Christ today? Are you wondering, what is He talking about? Or is the Spirit saying to you, it's time to give up and come to your Maker? It's time to come to the Lord. And give up your own ways. Is that you today? I want to invite you. I want to invite the music team to come back up. And as we prepare to sing, you just come forward. You can come during the music, but you don't have to have music to do business with the Lord. If you need Jesus today, then you come and let us help you with that. It's a good day to celebrate salvation with your church. And maybe you've been worshiping here for a while and you just know that it's time to put down some roots and officially join the church. Then you come and we'll visit about that and we'll set up a time to discuss that with you about what church membership means. Maybe you're heavy-hearted this morning for one reason or another and you just need some prayer. You're welcome to come to the front for prayer or find somebody around you and pray. Maybe it's sin that you need to confess and repent. There's no reason to leave here without doing business with the Lord this morning. And we can all join in praise and being thankful. Would you stand?